It's time for Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. For more information about Daniel Pryor and his services, visit BibleBasedCounselor.com. Daniel has offices in Kirkland and Edmonds. And now your host, Daniel Pryor.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, it is another edition of the Sound Mind broadcast with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. Hi there, Daniel.
Mark, good to be here.
Hey, good to have you in studio, and Merry Christmas.
And to you.
People are hearing that quite a bit these days. As we get into the Christmas season, and you wanted to kind of give your annual talk about Christmas and expectations and how maybe those can affect our mood at this time of year.
Yeah, this time of year, I do like to do something special for Christmas, but as I was thinking about how this would go today, I asked myself the question, you know, what really is special about Christmas for a Christian being since we have the Lord with us all the time, it's not a revelation to us. Now, the easy answer is, oh, it's a celebration of his birth. Mm. But I asked myself, is that really why it seems special to me? And this is something we might ponder. I wish I could get feedback from the listeners now, but why is it, you might ask yourself, what is it about Christmas that actually feels special? Maybe we could give gifts any time of the year if we felt like it. There's just something about it, and what I came to, the conclusion for myself that I came to after thinking this over was the fact that what I really feel on Christmas is when I go out, whether it's just driving down streets or walking through the neighborhood and you see the Christmas decorations up, or in the malls you see the Christmas decorations. And, of course, everybody's buying presents. You know, for some people it's a time to be really indulge in materialism. Mm-hmm. For some people it's time for family. Families gather. For the store owners, it's a
get back into the black. Yeah.
But I was thinking, when I'm seeing all this, whether people are doing it willingly or not, they are celebrating Christ. Mm. And for me, I think what that does for me is I just feel Christ vindicated and God glorified, even if people are atheists or agnostics or angry with God for some reason. And I was reminded of the scripture verse that says in Philippians 2:10, it says that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. Mm. Typically, when I think of that verse, I think of the end times and Judgment Day. Mm. But I was thinking about Christmas this time and thinking about whether people realize it or not. That's what this day is about. And so I'm walking through the mall or walking through the neighborhood and seeing people celebrating this day in their own way and for their own reason, but they're celebrating my Savior, my Lord, my King, my God, and this is His world. And I just feel that
interesting. You feel vindicated by that.
Yeah, I just feel like this is our day. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is. Mm-hmm.
Well, I think of two. It kind of came out in, what is it, the classic Charlie Brown Christmas, where Charlie Brown is blue and he doesn't, what's all this hubbub about and all this materialism? And then Linus says, well, I'll tell you what Christmas is. And he tells the Christmas story. And who would think you'd see? Now, you wouldn't see that kind of a Christmas cartoon today.
No.
But that says it right there.
Yeah. You know? And there are people, believe it or not, that we're celebrating Christmas. Who even grew up in this country and have no idea of. I heard this the other day, somebody giving a testimony saying that he had no idea about Christ and the salvation.
Well, it's certainly a conversation. You know, I ran into that in all places. I was a missionary in Japan, spent a full year there, and went through the Christmas season. And that was the strangest thing, to be in Japan, and they're Merry Christmas, and they've borrowed all of this Western commercialism and Santa Claus and all this stuff over there, even.
Without any idea.
And no idea the connection to it's actually about the birth of Christ.
Yeah. No, this is a little not directly related, but somewhat related. I was listening just to the radio just before I came in, and they were talking about the book, what I've read, and I really appreciate the book, Person of Interest. Have you read that? Wallace is the author's name, but you could Google it and find the book, Person of Interest. And I don't suggest books very often, but this is a page-turner, and it's a really great book, and it talks about part of what it talks about is the effect that Christ has had on the world. Mm. And, you know, whether it's art, science, medicine.
Yeah, that was just on Focus on the Family recently.
And that's what I believe is what I was listening to. It's a great book for if you've got someone in your family that's agnostic or teenagers or young people that are struggling with a lot of the challenges that the world is bringing now, and they're struggling in their faith. This is an absolutely fantastic book to read. Mm. Name of the book again is Person of Interest. But yeah, that's my feeling about Christmas. If you haven't reflected on that, that might be a good thing to do. I also want to talk about the idea of what we encounter as believers in our as our families gather. This is something that I probably say this every year, and it's worth repeating, is that Christmas is always, like Thanksgiving, but I think Christmas even more so, is always a mixed bag. It's a time of, we look forward to, rejoicing and joy and merriment, but there's so often, I would say almost invariably, if you get a large enough crowd in your home, but there's so often loss as well. Mm-hmm. But I think that in some ways, the high expectations accentuate the pain of loss. So I can remember going through Christmases where there had been a loss of some sort, and everyone around me was gay and happy. And that just made it worse for me. Mm. And so if you have family gatherings, you might be the person that's had the loss in your life. And what I would say, and my wife and I have experienced loss in our lives this year, and so Christmas is going to be a bit different. But I know one thing. The Lord is not he's not the originator of suffering and pain. But he certainly uses it to draw us close to him. Mm-hmm. And, he's here in this season for us, as always, but, to bring peace to troubled minds and healing to broken hearts. And so he will, the scripture says if we draw near to him, he draws near to us. And so if you're one of those people who has had loss at this time of year, and you're coming into the Christmas season and you have pain in your heart, pain in your mind, be close to the Lord in those times. And this could be one of the most meaningful Christmas seasons that you in your life. When we allow God to heal that suffering, and we discover the well that never runs dry, and the bread of life in a much deeper way. Mm-hmm. And then whether or not you're that person, and you might be in the family and invite people over for Christmas, and there might be a person suffering, or there might be a person who's got a chip on his or her shoulder, or maybe one of the people that you know has kind of gone sideways in their life. They used to be a believer, and now they are messing around with gender change or some of these
that's
horrendous things.
A contemporary problem. People invite the family, extended family over, and haven't seen them in a while, and Jim is now
they,
you know. Yeah. So how do we handle this,
So that's the setting. That's going to be the setting for some of these. And what can I do, what can we do in a situation like that, to make Christmas meaningful? And my first point here is make peace. And I know that sounds like a very maybe passive, avoidant way of looking at this. But the fact is, we're celebrating the advent of the Prince of Peace. So peace is something where we make peace. It says in James 3:18 that the fruit of righteousness is sown in the peace of those that make peace. If we are peacemakers, Christ is in the midst of that. He's the Prince of Peace. There's no peace, true peace, apart from him. And so if we're making peace, a lot of those sermons we'd like to preach to these people, we're not going to get the chance to preach them. And, you know, we maybe many of you know from experiences, when you try to preach, it just makes the situation worse, and it can destroy the the entire celebration. Mm-hmm. And so you're kind of on pins and needles anyway. But just the wonderful news is that in just making peace, righteousness is sown. And we know what righteousness is. That's right standing with God. And so even though it feels like I'm not preaching that sermon I'd like to preach to my young person, or that backslidden person, or that agnostic person, even though I'm not maybe preaching the sermon, God is doing his work in the person's life, and I'm staying out of the way by just making peace. So
you would encourage people not – Christmas, the Christmas dinner, a Christmas gathering is not the place to
as a general rule, no. That's not the place to try to convince someone of something. There's an old fable that I tell, that I use with clients a lot. It's a contest between the wind and the sun, and the contest is who can make the man take his coat off. So, of course, it's the wind, first of all, blows ferociously, and gale forces, and all the man does is put his coat around him tighter, and then the wind gives up. Now it's the sun's turn, and the sun just shines, and the man takes his coat off. There's a profound truth in that. The more, resistance is relative to force. So the more I try to push it, the more resistance I'm going to get. So try that. Just try being the peacemaker. And another thing here, it says Philippians 4:8, a lot of scriptures today. Philippians 4:8, remember this one, is whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest. And I was thinking about this morning as I was waking up early and thinking about the show today. Whatsoever things are true, we obviously want to stay away from, there's trouble at the border, and that's true. So, we want to think, the words of Jesus, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I'm the way, the truth, and life. So real truth, fundamental truth, always has to do with Christ. So whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, pure, lovely, of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, preach on these things.
Mm-hmm.
Hold it. I made a mistake. It doesn't say preach on these things. Right. It says think on these
things. Think on these things. There you go.
Yeah. Don't preach a sermon, but have those things in our minds, things that are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, of good report, things of virtue, things of praise. If I'm thinking on those things, it's going to be a lot easier. I'm going to be more attracted. People are going to be attracted to me because I'll have the peace, and I'll be exuding the joy of the season rather than having a belt full of sermons. Mm-hmm. And arguments.
Think those good things around the gathering this Christmas season as you try to measure expectations. We'll continue this discussion in a moment. And if people are thinking about this, maybe they know they need some counsel. They maybe have extended family that needs counseling of some kind or some coaching. How do they get in touch with you, Daniel?
That's right. The problems don't go away. Yeah. The phone number is 425-778-6169. 425-778-6169. Also, can email me through the website, BibleBasedCounselor.com, where you find these radio shows and the podcast link. Office is Kirkland Edmonds, and also doing a lot of Zoom these days with the price of gas and traffic.
Okay, back with more of the Sound Mind broadcast with Daniel Pryor in just a moment.
Hi, this is Daniel Pryor, counselor and life coach. You know, anxiety and depression contribute to every type of psychosis, behavioral problem, and even many health issues. Unchecked, they can ruin your life. But you don't have to let that happen. If you feel that you or someone that you know is struggling with anxiety and depression, call me and let me teach you the tools to build, manage, and maintain a more wholesome lifestyle. Contact me through my website at BibleBasedCounselor.com or call me at 425-778-6169.
Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. And now your host, Daniel Pryor.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, Daniel is helping us get through this Christmas season, maybe challenged by some expectations that aren't being met. And you were leaving off with that great verse in Philippians about the right kinds of things to think about.
Yeah, I can envision Paul writing this, and one way to think about it is that he was just good with words, and this is like almost a poetic thing that he did. You know, whatsoever things are true, just, pure, lovely, of good report, if there be any virtue, think on these things. And I might imagine him writing that because he thinks, oh, this would be a nice thing to say. And or I could think of him writing it because these are things he found to be true in his life, that these are things he found to be true through his experience. And if he's writing that way, why would it work that way? Why would it work that? Why would that be more than just a good idea? And preferable, let's say, well, it's more preferable to think of things of praise than it is to think of things of some of the horrendous things going on in the world. So, say, I rather than think of wars and rumors of wars and all the, you know, the slip in morality that we see all around us. Are these things thinking about things that are true, honest, just? Is that just avoidant behavior? Is that just kind of like putting a Band-Aid on it? So I'm trying to
put your head in the sand.
Yeah,
be in denial about
push it out of my mind and be in denial. Mm. I think not. I think that it's this way because these things, if you read this list, truth, honesty, just, purity, lovely, good report, virtue, praise. These are things that are essentially the nature and the presence of God. He is the origin of all these things, and where they are, he is. His presence is there because these things don't exist apart from the presence of God. It's very similar to the verse in 1 John 4:16 where John writes that God is love, and whoever dwells in love dwells in God. Because if you're dwelling in true love, there's only one source of that love. He's using the word agape, of course, in that verse. But agape represents all virtuous love, whether it's love of art, love of good food, love any love that is not vile is part of the nature and the virtue of God. Goodness doesn't come from any place else, and so these things that Paul is writing about, if it be true, honest, just, pure, lovely, of good report, any virtue, any praise, think on these things because this is essentially the presence of God. So when we're occupied with these things, we're in the presence of God. We're exuding the nature of God, and that can't be a bad thing in our Christmas gatherings. Mm-hmm. So that's going to be very positive.
Absolutely.
I wanted to step forward to just a bit here, and some of the things I've talked about before. But these are good things to remember in the Christmas season. They're always like if you have a think of these things as being in your little toolbox and. What practically can we do? So I've done radio shows before on the love triad and on communication. And I just want to touch on a couple of those things. They're things that should always be in our tool bag and quick, and we can get to them quickly. The love triad, of course, talks about trust, forgiveness, and communion. These are three things that we talk a lot about this in marriage counseling, but it's true for all relationships and it's true for gatherings. Trust, we won't focus that much on that today, but we will focus on forgiveness and communion or communication. The reason it's when I usually talk about this triad, the way I come up with the triad is that it's one of those three things when I'm doing marriage counseling or counseling in relationships. You know, maybe I've a person's trying to relate to people in the church or friends or people at work, but it's primarily with marriage counseling. The reporting problem always turns out to be one of these three or a combination of them. That is, the couple will say there isn't any trust, or there isn't any forgiveness, or there isn't any communication, and they so the truth of these is that these three, trust, communion, forgiveness, and communion. I'm referring to communion because what we want in our relationships is not just communication in the sense of the exchange of data, but we want shared person. We want to share our person. We want intimacy. We want we want union. And so so these things are like a rope made out of three, they're inseparable, three strands, mm-hmm. I guess you would say. Mm-hmm. But they're inseparable. You can't have trust without forgiveness and communion. You can't have communion without trust and forgiveness. You can't have forgiveness without trust and communion. So I call them the love triad. So the thing about forgiveness is, and I say to people, if you want to understand forgiveness, just write the word forgive and scribble out the F-O-R, and then you're stuck with give. And that's really, that's fundamentally what forgiveness is. It's giving. Mm. And so this is the season of giving. This is, and so it's the season of forgiving. I would venture to say that all giving, when it comes to human beings, all giving is forgiving, because you can always think of many reasons why you shouldn't give this to your, this to the other person, or you shouldn't be vulnerable, or you shouldn't let down your defenses. You can think of those even in the best of relationships. So forgiveness is doing that, giving in spite of, giving of ourselves. If nothing else, giving of ourselves. This is what Jesus did when Jesus was on the cross and he saw those around him that had persecuted him and crucified him, and he said to the Father, "Forgive them, for they know not what they do." Mm-hmm. He was actually saying, "Father, give yourself to them. They don't know what they're doing." Or he was saying, "Father, give me to them." That's what the forgiveness is. It's giving. And so in this season, we're surrounded by family members. Maybe it's a gathering where we see someone in the corner that doesn't feel a part of the group, or maybe they're family members. Someone might be suffering. Someone might be in pain, or it may be me that's suffering. Mm-hmm. Remember to give. Remember to give yourself. Christ is given to us in this season. We celebrate the giving of Christ in this season. And so let's be givers. Mm-hmm. And so that's the forgiveness. The communion is really just a sharing of personhood. And I talk to people a lot about communication, married couples wanting to learn to communicate, and we talk about communing. And, you know, one of the things about communing, you can be sitting in the room with another person. Typically, this works really well, husband and wife sitting in the room with that other person, and without even saying a word or acknowledging the other person's presence, you can be giving yourself to the other person simply by having thoughts, kind thoughts, respectful thoughts. You can cherish the person without them even knowing that's what you're doing. And so you're opening yourself up to the other person. You're making yourself vulnerable. You're exchanging yourself, and you can actually feel virtue or goodness go out of you to the other person. You can feel that exchange. So we talk about communion, and it's very much an act of giving. Giving of yourself to that relationship. Mm-hmm. So that's something to think about too. As far as communication, these are some tips. This is just basic communication. So, and sometimes this is really important, particularly if you've got situations in the house that are you know, kind of dicey. You know, we're walking on eggshells because somebody has come to the a guy has come to the Christmas party in a dress, or, you know, so, you never know. Some of these things, you don't know what's happened, or someone has suffered loss in the year. So there's disappointment in this. So we're engaging in conversation. Number one, I want to analyze. I want to ask myself, do I really have to say this to this person? Why am I saying this? Am I saying this to bring joy and to bring encouragement? Is this passive aggressive? Is this something that doesn't need to be said? Is this something that's going to backfire and bring pain? That would eliminate a lot of things that we say. Now, if we decide, no, this is a good thing to say, or this needs to be said, first of all, What words am I going to use? I want to stay away from rhetorical words, and I want to stay away from words that have a sense of accusation, coldness, unkindness. I want to stay away from those kinds of words, words that can be interpreted wrongly. Secondly, what's my tone of voice? If I have a kind message and good words, does my tone of voice support those words? You know, words, tone of voice. Third one would be, what is my body posture when I'm communicating? Because actually, I'm using all these things, the words, the tone of voice, the body posture, and finally, the facial expression. I'm using all these things to code my message. So these are just simple fundamental things. First of all, I analyze, then I think, what are the words that I should use? Now, of course, a lot of times when you're saying pass the salt or, could I have another piece of that ham, you don't need to go through and police these things. Mm-hmm. But sometimes the conversations warrant that. So those are just some tips that I hope will be helpful. And I hope, wishing everyone a Merry Christmas and Christmas season, okay. And Happy New Year.
We can get through the Christmas season if we keep some of these things in mind, and maybe people are thinking about giving the gift of counseling or life coaching to somebody in the new year. Be a little envelope under the tree saying, here's 12 sessions with Daniel Pryor. How do people get in touch with you, Daniel?
Okay. The phone number is 425-778-6169, 425-778-6169. People also email me through the website, BibleBasedCounselor.com. You can review this show there if you like. Through the podcast link, I have an office in Kirkland and Edmonds, and I also do a lot of Zoom now. Very convenient this time of year with snow coming on and the price of gas and traffic. So a lot of times people find a way to make Zoom work too.
Okay, always great stuff. Sound Mind Broadcast with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor on KCIS.
You've been listening to Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. For more information about Daniel Pryor and his services, visit BibleBasedCounselor.com. Daniel has offices in Kirkland and Edmonds. To make an appointment, call 425-778-6169. Be sure to tune in each Tuesday afternoon at 1 p.m. for Sound Mind with Daniel Pryor.